Good afternoon, and welcome to Let's Get It with your boy, Alaric Anderson. So glad to be back with you. So glad to be back with you on this beautiful Monday, April 27th. Thank you for joining us here on Let's Get It with Alaric Anderson. Want to let you know, if you're new to the program, feel free to download it, share it. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on all the outlets, iHeart, all the outlets that you can get podcasts. Also, we have a specially dedicated website specifically for the show, and that website is www.alaricanderson.net, AlericAnderson.net. Please take some time and go and look at that website and listen. And share it again. Share it, man. We're so glad to be back with you. It's a lot going on in the sports world. Finally, we got some stuff to talk about in the sports world. We had the draft over last Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Round one was on Thursday evening. Round two and three was on Friday evening. And rounds four through seven were Saturday. I, being the football head geek that I am, I think I watched just about 99%. I'll say 98% of the draft. I know I'm a geek, I'm weird, but you know, I love talking sports, and I wanted to make sure I was on top of everything for those of y'all who joined me on the broadcast. So I watched it, and it was interesting television, just to use that term, that phrase. It was some very interesting television. So we're going to talk a lot about the draft, do kind of a deep dive into it, but we're going to talk about the draft most definitely, and we're going to talk about The Last Dance. Episodes 3 and 4 aired last night on ESPN. For those of you all who may not be familiar, but you should be if you're listening to my show, The Last Dance is the story of the final year of the Chicago Bulls, of their dynasty. And it's about Michael Jordan and that journey. Last night was supposed to be centered on Dennis Rodman. However, it kind of got sidetracked because they talked about the Bad Boys, and then Isaiah Thomas decided he needed to do a tour today on the morning show. So we're going to definitely talk about that. About that miniseries, I mean, it's incredible. So, so let's just dive in. As I said before, the NFL had their 2020 draft started on Thursday, hosted by Roger Goodell. Roger was in his basement, his man cave. He did a great job. He did a really, really great job. People have been, you know, making jokes and laughing and stuff like that, but he really did a great job with the broadcast. There was a lot that could have gone wrong, a lot of things that might have went wrong, but they didn't. They were able to have it hosted by him in his basement and have all of the teams have representatives all over the country from their homes, from their yachts, in the case of the Dallas Cowboy owner Jerry Jones, from their weird space in their house that Mike Vrabel had, and we'll talk about that. That was really weird. Cliff Kingsbury's whatever that was out in Arizona. So it was really, really cool. No really big surprises in the first round except the really, really big one. I said no really big surprises. I take that back. That was a huge surprise. The Green Bay Packers in the first round of the draft picked a quarterback, picked Justin Love. Justin Love is out of Utah State. Picked him. Now, you may say, Green Bay Packers, isn't Aaron Rodgers the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers? Absolutely, he's the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. And so that was a very interesting pick in the first round. You know, Joe Burrow went first. Chase Young went number two. So, you know, those first two picks went well. You had Tua going to Miami. It was really funny. This time last year, the joke was that Miami was going to tank for Tua. Then Tua got hurt during the season, and nobody really knew where he was going to end up falling. And we saw exactly where he fell. He was the second quarterback taken in the draft by the Miami Dolphins, by those guys down there in Miami. So that should be really, really cool. Miami Dolphins should be a team to watch. They had a lot of draft choices. But back to the Green Bay Packers and back to the third quarterback taken in the draft. Justin Love was taken. Great quarterback out of Utah State. The irony of this whole thing, it was around the same place that Aaron Rodgers was picked, around the same time and age in his career that Brett Favre. So when Aaron Rodgers was drafted, he was drafted in the late first round, and Brett Favre was the age that Aaron Rodgers is right now. And when they drafted Aaron Rodgers, they drafted him to be the heir apparent for Brett Favre. He ended up a couple of years later being just that. And so instead of Green Bay going out and trying to win now, getting some players that can affect them right now with their first round draft pick, they went out and they got a quarterback. So it's going to be interesting watching the next few months unfold once we get out of the social distancing and are able to really dive into the teams are really able to get back to their facilities and do some things, get some workouts in. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with their team. Look, I'm not saying that Aaron Rodgers is going to be traded, but they have that new coach from last year, Matt LaFleur. Matt LaFleur may want his own person. You know, last year a lot was made of him working with Aaron Rodgers and making sure him and Aaron Rodgers are on the same page, and everything was about Aaron Rodgers. It's going to be interesting because now they really have an opportunity. If you know, if they ballsy enough, they really have an opportunity to say, you know what, it's Matt LaFleur's team, and we're going to get rid of Aaron Rodgers right now and get the best we can for him. There are some teams out there that's really looking for a quarterback. I mean, the New England Patriots did not draft a quarterback going in the draft. They did not draft a quarterback right now. Jarrett Stidham, quarterback out of Auburn, would be their starting quarterback if we started the season today. But we ain't starting the season today. And you know how Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft roll. I would not be surprised if somehow, some way, Aaron Rodgers ended up in New England. That would be insane. That would be some NBA type movement that you don't normally see with the NFL. And you know, the strange thing about it, as I talk about the New England Patriots real quick, kind of get sidetracked a little bit to talk about the quarterback situation, it's really interesting to see what's going on with the quarterback situation as it relates to New England and Tampa Bay. If you keeping up with the way the chess players are moving their pieces right now. So Tom Brady left New England, went to Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay released Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston is now rumored to be signing as a backup for Drew Brees down in New Orleans. And as I said before, New England right now has no quarterback. So it would be interesting to see right as we get into the season what's going to happen. You know, Drew Brees is in his 40s. He missed some time last year. That's why Teddy Bridgewater is now the starting quarterback in Carolina, because he was able to get out there and play because Drew Brees missed some time. Don't be surprised if you get some Jameis Winston down there with Sean Payton turning his career around. Don't be surprised, like I said, in New England, if you look up and you see Tom Brady's successor be another Hall of Famer in Aaron Rodgers. And don't be surprised if Tampa Bay has a really good year. Tampa Bay is putting together a nice little squad. You have Tom Brady down there. Gronk has a year left, and he got traded by New England down there. It's been a lot that happened since we talked last. So since we really jumped into football last. So yeah, Gronk was traded from the New England Patriots to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I know you're saying, well, I thought he retired. Yes, he did retire, but New England still retained his rights, and he had 1 year left on his contract. They traded him to Tampa Bay. So Bruce Arians down there now has a great group of weapons on the offensive side, led by the perennial Super Bowl champion, the perennial one of the top players every year in the league, the sure first ballot Hall of Famer. Some may say he's the greatest quarterback to ever play. I would differ with that, but, you know, that's just me because he beat my team, the Rams. He will be their quarterback next year. It'll be interesting to see what he does down there. So a lot can happen, but that's just – so that's why that move by Green Bay to draft a quarterback in the first round could be monumental to the NFL, could be monumental. So that was, you know, that kind of went how the first round went. No real surprises in the first round. Three quarterbacks went in the first round. Joe Burrow's that bad man went to Cincinnati at the number one pick. I believe at number five is where Tua went. And then in the late 20s is where Justin Love went. And then we got hit with the high eye in the second round. The Philadelphia Eagles, with Carson Wentz, who we know has been injured every season he's been in the league, and we know, and Nick Foles ended up having to lead that team to their Super Bowl win. They go out, the Philadelphia Eagles go out, and they draft in the second round Jalen Hurts, quarterback out of Oklahoma, runner-up in the Heisman Trophy, national champion down there with Alabama, great quarterback from a great system. Lincoln Riley had him down there throwing that thing, running that thing last year. Very durable quarterback, and now he is the backup in Philadelphia. So the second round came out with that high eye, with Jalen Hurts being picked up by the Philadelphia Eagles. So you know it's going to be some issues in Philly now. You know, Philadelphia fans are they have high standards for a team that's played in three Super Bowls and only won one. They have some really, really high standards. And so don't be surprised if they come out the box and it's not a strong beginning of the season. Don't be surprised if that Jalen Hurts move starts coming to fruition and you start seeing him out there playing, starting for the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday. Especially if Carson Wentz stubs his toe and gets hurt again, it's going to be some problems in Philadelphia. So those were the big moves. Other than that, it was just pretty normal movement in the draft. No real surprises about, you know, the quarterbacks. Some of the kids kind of dropped in the draft. But it's not really – it wasn't anything that really shocked anybody that these kids – you know, Jacob Eason didn't get drafted in the first round. The kid from Georgia – didn't get drafted until the fifth round. So, you know, it's one of those things where some of these players could have went higher. Some of them could have went, you know, could have went lower. Some of them could have not been drafted. It just, you know, the NFL draft is really, really interesting once you get into the later rounds, 4 through 7. You'll see a lot of players that you may not have heard. There were a few players that were drafted that didn't participate in the combine. There were some players who had some off the field issues, even though now some of that is not a big deal anymore because of the new CBA in the NFL. Some things that used to be a red flag are no longer, like marijuana use. Now that marijuana is not a banned substance for the NFL, they're able to do some, you know, they're able to not take chances on some players, but they're able to do some different things as far as bringing some players in because they don't have to do any mitigating things to talk about their recreational drug use. So there were some players that were taken later in the rounds. As a Mizzou fan, you know, y'all who listen to the show know that I'm a big University of Missouri fan. There were a few Mizzou players that were drafted. The most notable, Albert O, Obigamwan, he was a preseason All-American, first-team All-American tight end. He was drafted by the Denver Broncos to be reunited with Drew Locke, formerly of Mizzou, M-I-Z-Z-O-U. They were reunited. I didn't know Albert O ran a 4.4 in the combine, man. That dude, he had an injury-ridden season this year, so he kind of dropped off in production. And Mizzou had a really bad season this year. That's why there's a new coach in the University of Missouri. Shout out to Coach Drinkwitz formerly of Appalachian State, who's the new head coach of the University of Missouri Football Tigers, and who's doing a phenomenal job here in the area of recruiting and sealing the borders. But they had a up and down. Mizzou had a really, really bad year, starting off with the loss at the beginning of the year to Wyoming. So for Albert O to have dropped but end up falling to the Denver Broncos to go out there with Drew Locke, it's going to be nice. If you look at the teams in the division with the Kansas City Chiefs, who are the world champions, they didn't go the defensive route. They went the offensive route. They went, let's see if we can score points with Kansas City, which means that AFC West is going to be off the chain with the Las Vegas Raiders. They're going to play in their new facility starting whenever football season starts. Kansas City Chiefs are still the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, the Los Angeles Chargers will be playing in the new dome, the SoFi Stadium, sharing that with the Los Angeles Rams, my team. So it's going to be really, and then the Denver Broncos, man. The Denver Broncos stepped up their offensive firepower. They will be starting this season with Drew Locke, not with the waste of time from last year with Joe Flacco. And so it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that division. Some of the other divisions you're going to have to keep an eye on. Dallas Cowboys went out and got CeeDee Lamb, that bad man at wide receiver from Oklahoma, who had a viral moment during the draft because his girlfriend tried to get his phone off his lap. Go look at it on YouTube with CeeDee Lamb's girlfriend. Tried to get his phone, got the snatch back. It was some interesting looks, some interesting looks that happened because, as I said at the top of the show, this year the draft was being held at the individual, the picks were being made at the individual coaches and GM's homes. And so it was interesting to watch that unfold. And where the top draft choices would have usually been in the green room at the draft, and this year was supposed to be in Las Vegas, it would have been off the chain. Just as a side note, it's been announced that the 2022 draft, not next year's draft, I believe next year's draft is in Cleveland, but the 2022 draft will be held in Las Vegas. So Las Vegas is getting an opportunity to host a draft in a couple of years. I plan on being there for that. But this year there was no green room, and so you got to see the coaches at home with their kids and GMs at home with their kids, something that would not have happened before in the past. These men and these women, because there were some women that were involved in these decision-making processes, spent their waking hours from all their waking hours from about the end of February, right around the combine, all the way through the draft. And even after the draft is over, this would be the week that they were able to bring in their draft picks, and they would have been bringing in their undrafted free agents. It would have been a lot of work, but all because of social distancing, all that stuff has to happen at home. So it was very interesting. Heard a lot of great things about what people thought about the draft, the way it was held. Heard the NFL is strongly considering taking some part of this and making it a part of drafts going forward. I don't know if it's going to be rounds 2 and 3 that they can do it from home. I don't know exactly how they're going to do it. I think they really do need to incorporate it. And the NFL usually doesn't miss an opportunity to change what they're doing if it means they'll make more money doing it. And, you know, you're going to get some sponsors. You're going to get some people who are going to put some money up to see the draft, to have their furniture be in somebody's living room, to sponsor the official soft drink at so-and-so's house. You know how they go with the NFL. They don't have any problem finding marketing opportunities. So it's going to be interesting going forward. But the NFL draft was really, really I was really, really entertained this year. They drew more than 15 million people watched the draft in the first round. That broke all records for watching the draft, for viewership of the draft. So I think that was a really big deal for the NFL. And I think the NFL will be really, really happy that they're going to be really, really happy with the way this went down and the positive feedback they're getting from fans and casual fans, people who wouldn't have normally watched. They've been getting some really good feedback from that. So shout out to Roger Goodell and the entire NFL family. You put on a great show. Shout out to them young men who got drafted. Shout out to all the young men who signed as undrafted free agents. So if your favorite player from your favorite college didn't get drafted, make sure you look at the, they used to call it the wire. Make sure you go to NFL.com. It'll tell you all the latest signings, of the players who signed, unrestricted free agent contracts or undrafted free agent contracts. And speaking of the unrestricted free agents, there are still a few out there. We're going to talk about them as we get closer to a date when the NFL will be able to go back to their facilities and do some work. So again, shout out to the NFL for giving us something to watch over the last few days, and we're really excited about this upcoming NFL season whenever that kicks off. Going to the NBA right now, NBA announced that they were going to be allowing teams to practice in facilities in states where the stay-at-home restrictions are being lifted. So look for, as I was coming to air, the state of Texas was having a press conference about how they were going to transition out of the stay-at-home orders. The state of Florida has already began that transition. The state of Georgia has already began that transition. The state of Oklahoma has began that transition. So you'll be seeing some teams that will have opportunities to work out. And as of this morning, the NBA is saying they will try to accommodate some of the players from that are not from those markets. If they would like, I don't know how they're going to configure it out. They're going to let the players travel, or are they going to let them work out in non-NBA facilities? When I came to air, they had not made that decision. So look at teams, all the Texas teams will be practicing soon. That's San Antonio, that's Dallas, that's Houston. Georgia with the Atlanta Hawks. OKC will be available to practice, will be able to practice soon. Your Florida teams, Orlando and Miami, will be able to practice soon. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. You know, California is shut down as relates to this. New York is shut down as it relates to this. The state, you know, it's most of the states, the state of Michigan is shut down. New York is definitely shut down. So it's going to take some time for all the NBA teams to get back on track and get back on point. But the NBA has said that they will allow teams to return to their facilities for workouts. So that will be coming up soon. You'll be hearing more and more about that as states start making transition. It seems like May 3rd is going to be the date that a lot of states are going to make the transition to letting people back out of our houses and doing some things. So we'll keep on track of that. When we come to air next Monday, I'm sure we'll have some more information as it relates to that. So, man, look here. Let's talk about this documentary on ESPN called The Last Dance that chronicles the last year of the world champion Chicago Bulls as they were going for their second three-peat in a row, or second three-peat, the last year, their second three-peat. And what this documentary has done, it has not just focused on that year, but they've gone back. The first one, of course, was about Michael Jordan coming to the Bulls. It talked a lot about Scottie Pippen and his relationship with the Bulls and his rocky relationship with the Bulls. This one was these two, and that was one and two. This one delved a little bit more in the relationship with Dennis Rodman coming to the Bulls and the Bad Boy Pistons. And it also talked about how Phil Jackson became coach and all that, but this one was supposed to get the limelight of this one, the spotlight of this one was supposed to be about Dennis Rodman. Now, Dennis Rodman, man, I'm a big basketball fan. I was a big basketball fan back then. I was a huge Chicago Bull fan back then. So I kept up with the whole thing. This ain't a new thing to me. I've been a sports fan, a sports fanatic for years and years and years and years and years and years and years. So I was already aware of some of the things. But, man, some of them stories about Scottie Pippen. Not Scottie Pippen, about Dennis Rodman. The story about Dennis Rodman saying he needed a break, needed a vacation, going to Las Vegas. First, Phil Jackson calling Michael into the office to ask him what he thought about him going on. What he thought about Dennis Rodman going on vacation is incredible. That was an incredible story. But the rest of the story was incredible also. How Michael Jordan had to go to Las Vegas and get Dennis Rodman. And then Carmen Electra, some of y'all don't remember, Carmen Electra was the it girl back then. Carmen Electra saying that she was in the room when Jordan knocked on the door to get Dennis. That's what's so cool about this documentary, is that they're not just throwing stuff out there and you just have to believe it. It's being corroborated, because you can't make a story like that up. You can't make that up. You can't say, all right, so this is how we're going to tell it. And we're going to say that Jordan went and got him. And when he went there, he was in the room with Carmen Electra. Because one thing about Jordan, he has shown us, Jordan ain't going to tell your business. He, you know, now when he talked about, you know, when they was talking about the cocaine use on the Bulls before he got there, he said and that time that they were on the road and he went to the room and it was some stuff going on in there. He tries not to throw nobody under the bus like that. Basketball wise, he will throw some people under the bus, but they personalize. He tries to be a little, you know, a little not as forthright with the particulars of events. And he even said that, he said, you know, I ain't going to tell you who he was with. I ain't going to tell you where he was. I ain't going to tell you all that. But then they came right back with Carmen Electra, said, yeah, it was me. I was up in that spot with him. And Jordan came knocking on the door. Man, that story was insane. And to think that cat was balling the way he was balling. Go back and look at those teams, man. Those cats were special. They were really, really special. They were special athletes. And so I was at awe of that, man. The footage they had I had never seen Dennis Rodman college footage, man. They had footage of Phil coaching down in Puerto Rico, man. It was incredible. This documentary is done really, really well. And as a side note, I hear that this kind of thing, this kind of documentary, this kind of access was given to Kobe and his production company. So we may be seeing some Kobe stuff coming not soon, but eventually we may see some Kobe stuff coming out. But, you know, Kobe, his stuff's probably going to be a full-length movie that, you know, we're going to see on get another Academy Award, because that's how Kobe got down. It wasn't going to be just Kobe, you know, like this, like NBA entertainment. You know, Kobe always had to do it on another level. But it was so interesting watching some of these stories unfold. And they talked about the Bad Boy Pistons and talked about what it took to get past the Bad Boy Pistons. And the one thing that I really remember about those Pistons, other than the way that they played, was when they lost, when they got swept by the Chicago Bulls, and they left the floor without shaking the hands of the Bulls. And obviously, if you know anything about Michael Jordan, even before this, Michael Jordan don't forget nothing. And obviously that still wears on him. And so that episode, it was still very visceral to him. He talked about it. He was in a whole nother place when he talked about that. Well, I wake up this morning, and what to my wondrous eyes should appear is Isaiah Thomas on Get Up on ESPN and on First Take on ESPN, telling his side of the story. Air quotes, his side of the story. And like, I'm going to be honest, I'm not really an Isaiah Thomas fan. I ain't never really been no Isaiah Thomas fan. But today he was just out there trying to get the record straight and keep the record straight. And, you know, that's not how it happened. And I'm hurt because, you know, I wasn't on the Dream Team and all that, even though the Dream Team wasn't just Michael saying he didn't want him on there. Larry Bird didn't want him on the team. Karl Malone didn't want him on the team. Obviously, his head coach, Chuck Daly, who was the head coach of the Dream Team, didn't want him on his team. His best friend, Magic Johnson, obviously didn't want him on the team. So I think Jordan has taken some undue pressure from people as it relates to him not being on the Olympic team, because Jordan wasn't the only one that didn't want him on the team. That's a life lesson. You know, some people remember what you did. Some people forget what you did, but you still did it. You know what I'm saying? Some people remember what you did. Some people forget what you did. But bottom line, you still did it. And I think that Isaiah kind of caught one on it, and I'm sad about it as it relates to the Olympics, because he made the 1980 Olympic team. You know, there was a boycott by the United States of the Summer Games because of Russia's invasion of Afghanistan. So President Jimmy Carter, we boycotted the Olympics in 1980. By the time 1984, professionals were not playing in the Olympics. And that 1984 team, coached by his college coach, Bobby Knight, featured Michael Jordan, and he wasn't able to play on that team or the 88 team. 92 was the first year that we were sending our pros, and Isaiah was not on that team. I understand his frustration. Isaiah was a national champion at Indiana. Isaiah was a two-time NBA champion with Detroit. He's a Hall of Famer. He's a great, great player. All of that good stuff. And the thing that's missing, as he said, from his resume is a gold medal. I really feel for him about that. I just think that it wasn't all about Jordan, him not being on that team. But, you know, he told his side of the story, and don't get it twisted. Isaiah Thomas is probably he's in the top three point guards all time in the NBA. Don't get it twisted. That dude was a baller. He was a baller in college when he won, I believe it was 1981, with the great Landon Turner, who was going to be a top draft choice on that team, who was in a car accident and was paralyzed. He was a great player for the Detroit Pistons. Isaiah, great, 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 great player for the Detroit Pistons, man. I saw him bounce around on one ankle, you know, with a bad ankle. He played hurt. He got that cut above his eye because Karl Malone cut his face. But so he was a great player. I just think, you know, blaming Jordan for him not being on the Olympic team, I think that's a bit of a stretch. Did Jordan want him on the team? Hell no. If they asked Jordan and told Jordan it was his choice and his choice alone, I'm sure Jordan said, I don't want him on the team. And if they say, if Jordan say it's either him or me, then Isaiah ain't going to be on the team. It is what it is. So I think that's what it is. That's what it was as it relates to that. So, but it was very interesting watching The Last Dance. They're coming back two more episodes on Sunday. And as I was saying, I was speaking with my son about this. My son's a basketball player. I was speaking with him, and I said the NBA are going to probably announce when they're coming back when this series is going to its end. And I think May 17th is going to be the last day of the airing. Yeah, May 17th, I believe. It's going to be the last day of the airing of the show. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to really, really, really be interesting watching the rest of this and watching to see what the NBA does as it relates to saying when it come out. I'm saying the NBA was going to come back in July. I'm saying they're going to announce May 17th that they will open back their facilities the beginning of June. Chris Paul has said that it's probably going to take about a month for everybody to get back in shape. I think they're going to give us that 4th of July, man. I think that 4th of July weekend is when the playoffs are going to start. I think going straight to the playoffs, and then we're going to see what's up. We're going to see what's up. So I'm sticking with, that's my story, and I'm sticking with it. So see, it was a great weekend, a great week of sports. Even in this time of COVID-19 where we can't get out and we can't really see live sports action, it was a great week of sports stories. And we're looking forward to next week. I'm sure some more teams and sports are going to be talking about what they're going to be doing going forward. Baseball did not get to start their season. I'm sure baseball will talk about if basketball don't come back on the 4th of July, baseball is sure going to try to come back on the 4th of July. And we want to hear what's going to happen with college football going into this fall. They're going to have to make a decision soon. So it's going to be a lot of sports to talk about, even if there's no action going on the field. So I thank you for listening to me today here on Let's Get It with Alaric Anderson. Remember, you can listen to this show. You can download it, share it. You can listen to this podcast, Spotify podcast, iHeart podcast, Apple podcast, www.alaricanderson.net. You can listen to this show. You can download it. Go listen to some older shows. We archive some shows. You will love it. Go listen. If you're new to the show, thank you for listening. If you are returning a listener, thank you for supporting the show. We've been getting such wonderful feedback, and everybody's like, when are you coming back with the show? And we're glad that we're back in our second week, kicking this second season that got interrupted due to the COVID-19. A couple of other things, man, want to keep you abreast. If you listen to the show and you want to hear me talk about music, the thing that I do, because I'm a professional musician, if you want to hear me talk about music and some other things, we premiered a show. It's Instagram Live, Facebook Live show. It's called In the Studio with Alaric Anderson. We talk about music mainly. Check us out on Wednesday afternoons on Facebook Live and Instagram Live. Check us out. This week we'll be picking up the conversation about Prince. Find out what your favorite Prince jam is. And we'll also be talking about jams versus hits. Jams versus hits. Hey, it's going to be great. So join us on In the Studio with Alaric Anderson. That's going to be a Facebook Live and Instagram Live. That's on Wednesday afternoons. And we'll see you back here on Let's Get It with Alaric Anderson on next week on Monday. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.